Welcome back to Giddy Up Podcast, Episode 7. My name is Justin Tippett. I am joined by world champion, Paralympic and funny bloke and all-round good guy from the country, from the bush, the larrikin, the man, the myth, Mr. Don Elgin.
I tell you what, mate, you keep playing that music, that intro, I'll keep coming back. Every week I refer to it. I bloody love it. It's got me. And you know what else is back? Me.
You on social media.
I am back, baby. I am back.
Whoop. How did it go, mate? Because last week, for some ridiculously inexplicable reason, you decided to ban yourself from social media for a week. And, well, here we are, a week later. Was it life-changing,
mate? Well, I was forced into a corner. You said I sat on the fence and I said, I'll bloody give you fence. And
you were sitting on the fence, yeah.
Yeah, I did a little bit. And then I completely jumped off the wrong side of the fence and committed myself to a week of no social media. And, of course, tonight ends the social media. Today, this morning, this, whenever you're bloody listening to it, the social media ban is over and I am back. It did a couple of things. First thing I thought is, how the bloody hell am I going to do this? So I moved all the apps that I've got in a little folder. I moved them 4 or 5 deep into my phone and hid them so they weren't notifying on the front page. Yeah, didn't see them.
Nothing worse than seeing those little notification numbers. You just have to check, right?
Correct, so, exactly. Okay. Good move. Yep, so that was my first strategy. The next thing I noticed, and being a man of observation, I noticed how happy I was. I actually stopped hearing negative shit because I would go to Twitter and I'd look for like what's happening in the world. And I have no clue what's happened in the world because I just haven't been force fed all this crap that comes through social media. I've been off Facebook. I felt like a free man. I bloody love it. I give everybody the advice. You don't do it like a joke, you know, like a stupid bet that I did. But I'd say give yourself a mental health, social media health check and get off it for a little while.
Well, Donnie.
Oh. Yes, mate.
I admire you for wanting to get out there and get off for a week. I don't think I could do it.
Wasn't deliberate.
For a start, for a living, I guess I have to kind of be on some social media. So I think I'd struggle. But I went out to our listeners, Don.
Hang on a minute.
Our listeners are, well, let's face it, very switched on people. That's why they're listening
to the
show.
Well, that's why they're listening to this, mate. So they're not listening to anything else.
They're above average for the normal punter.
Hot as hell, our listeners.
So I put it out to them. I said, well, Donnie's been off social media for a week. Or has he?
Yeah. Hey, hang on a minute. Remember we said, I said social media, and then I said, hey, give me 3 that I'll stay off.
I'm pretty sure I said, what were the 3, Donnie?
Mine were, you killed me with Snapchat. You said off Snapchat.
Snapchat, which is off, your biggest one.
Off Twitter, which is where I get a lot
everything
of,
from.
Twitter. Yep. And Facebook. I was off Facebook.
Facebook. They own a bit of stuff, don't they, Facebook?
Oh, I've no idea, mate. I don't give a shit. What do you mean they own stuff?
Instagram, that'd be owned by Facebook.
Oh, hang on a minute.
Messenger?
Hang on. Whoa. Back up, Charlie. I committed to being on Facebook as in logging into the on with the dot Facebook. Not bloody Messenger. That's its own little app.
It's part of Facebook.
Oh, no way. I'm a man of the people. I figured, you know what? I'll tell you what I did do. Last week, I reached out to more people just to have a chat and say g'day because I wasn't consuming what was coming in. I was actually writing and connecting. And I figured, hand on heart, I dead set didn't associate Facebook and Messenger. I just figured that Messenger is most probably be a text message. So if I'm guilty, suffering you jocks, JT.
Look, Donnie, look up.
Listener who bloody dob me in can get stuffed. You're the ugly ones.
I'm not going to make name any names.
There's
at all.
None, you bullshitting me.
Thanks, Spiro. Okay.
Oh, he can get bloody Spiro. Mongrel.
No. Look, stop I know him. It was an honest mistake for you because you are seriously. Genuine. There's a man who has absolutely no clue about most things digital.
Yep.
It's you, Donnie.
Exactly.
How's your new job going?
It's funny. You know what? When I make a bet, I'm good for it, right? So, like, I had no sex for 13 years. I can abstain from things. Like, I abstain, I'm good for it.
I'm not sure how we jumped from how digital to that, but okay.
I mean staying away, like committing to something.
Right, okay.
I'm good at committing. So I've committed to getting off the tools, off the hammer and shovel and the drills, and I'm back in the office, blue collar, and I'm in there in the corporate environment, working with people, leading a team of awesome humans that are changing lives for people with disabilities online. I haven't got a fucking clue what I'm doing in there. No, I have. I'm bloody excited and I love that there's an offering for so many people that otherwise wouldn't get access to this great teachings.
I mean, I'm looking forward to hearing how you go with your new job. So I'm sure there'll be some lots of stories that we won't mention names, of course, with people, but because it's a workplace and I think you get in trouble for shit like that.
Probably.
But I'm looking forward to, hopefully, because I don't have a workplace, I'm looking forward to some juicy stories and living vicariously through your life.
Getting us into your bedroom. I just wonder what that's all about.
You've got to record shit somewhere.
No, I hear you. And the Pelmet people, they've been in here too. So.
Oh, the Pelmet people did a great job again. They did. We don't need to talk about that.
We've moved on.
Dead and buried. So, of course, we've got our regular segments, Donnie, and we know that people love the regular segments. And
we love the stingers.
If we miss one, obviously all hell would break loose. Yep. So let's just find out, well, what's got our attention this week? What got your attention this week? Well, Donnie, obviously not a lot got your attention, I'm guessing, given your social media ban.
I have nothing for this segment. I have zero. Social media is where it's at. I didn't get any. So, mate, this is over to you. But actually, we touched on a couple of things that can't be, even if you're living under a rock, you're going to know about. What's his name? Kane or?
Oh, Kanye.
Kanye.
We love a good Kanye update.
Give us a bit of presidential stuff.
Mate, it's all happening.
It is.
It's actually happening, and he started. He's done his big speech.
How'd that go? That would have been huge. Would have had thousands. Would have
lots of
inspired.
People. That inspiration is one of the words that people did not use when explaining what his speech was like. But look, some interesting stuff came out. We're not here to report on political stuff.
No, I'm sure we stay away from politics.
We know our strengths, and that's not one of them.
No.
But of course, it's my job to pick out a few little gems for our listeners. Don't
you are the gem picker.
And, let's just say that cannabis use came up.
Right.
Now, look, he's never shied away from the fact that he doesn't mind a little puff every now and then.
Okay, wait, can we just back up a bit? Sure. So Kanye he's famous in his own right for what, again?
He's a rapper.
He's a rapper, that's right.
And married Kim Kardashian.
Married a Kardashian. Yep. Righto. Yep. Okay, yep, good.
And so anyway, he's just decided that in his inaugural, pitch here, he said that, well, basically it should be free for a start. All cannabis should be free.
You reckon Trump is a showmate? This guy's going to be the bomb.
He goes, quote, "I must tell you, at my first rally, I did smoke a little bit last night." So that's good. He's on the gear before he's getting out there in the rally. He's got to calm his nerves, of course.
Yes.
And then not only has he decided that it should be free for everyone, he's decided that, quote, "every black man on trial for marijuana will also be freed."
Because Black Lives Matter.
Well,
and that's the way to do it.
It's a weird to come out with, isn't it?
That is a big statement
so
early.
All I would say to Alice is watch this space, because he went on a massive Twitter rant last night. He's now decided he wants to get divorced and you name it. I think he's quite concerned for his mental health, to be honest. So it's going to be very interesting to see what comes out. So we might we'll just pick some juicy stuff. Well, and at some point we might just shy away from the Conway topic if it keeps going down it's going.
US presidents rock on Twitter. So there's always something. So there we go.
That there is. Now, we're going to touch on something that it's probably a little bit controversial.
Righto, that's unlike this show.
Yeah, I know. And I want to talk about suicide again.
Okay,
right. And I know we brought it up a couple of weeks ago.
We did. We had the men talk, had the conversation discussion, and, of course, it's been a big week.
Look, it has. And unfortunately, again, some pretty high-profile people have been linked to suicide. Now, obviously, we don't know the full details of it. And that's really what I wanted to focus on, because I know for a lot of us, Don and you and I have had the chat and chats amongst our friends and family. I'm sure that the number of deaths related to COVID is look, in the scheme of things, quite low. And we're sort of all thinking, well, we know there are so many people doing it tough, and we're seeing some high profile people unfortunately take their own lives. And you sort of start begging the question, going, well, that's just the high profile ones that we sort of tend to come out. How much is going on right now? You know, people are really struggling, but why isn't this stuff being reported? Why aren't we talking about it? Because it's clearly a problem for society. And obviously in the media, there seems to be a few rules, Don. I know you know a little bit more about this.
Absolutely, mate. I whenever we're going to have something that I think, this might potentially, and we don't have zero media accreditation. We're not under any journalistic bloody. Yeah, exactly. A couple of blokes decided we've got an opinion. Let's share it. Let's have a chat. Let's have some fun and entertain each week. And I figured that
tough topic to entertain.
Yeah, entertain around that. But the truth is, I went and did a bit of research, because I told you, JT, there's only two things I don't budge on, and that is abuse to women and children. Everything else, I'm open to be educated. And our listeners, some of our listeners are bloody great friends of mine and have educated me around some topics that we've touched on. And I figure, well, I'll get on the front foot, and given I only have one foot. That's every time I'm on my foot, that's the one. But I figured I'll go and do some of my own research around why don't the media discuss suicide? Why don't they say somebody took their own life or died by suicide? Why is it taboo? Because people are generally saying, well, why don't they just say it? What happened?
That's like, right. It's always sort of written in code almost, well, isn't it?
There like is a code. It's like sudden death, or and then we can always draw the conclusion that it's suicide because there is
there were no suspicious circumstances, correct, or police aren't investigating and those sorts of words, right?
Yeah. And there's links to Lifeline Beyond Blue and
always,
and they are always, they should be there. But my research told me that there's an act, and that act, as in what comes through Parliament, is all about saying there's a code of ethics basically for media when they talk about suicide, to not glamorise it, because if you're in a situation where you might be vulnerable or basically vulnerable and you see it glamorised, then there could be the potential copycat. They use some other words. It was quite a lot of reading, to be honest, that I went through, and I wanted to get it. And there was also some do's and some don'ts for the media to talk about it. And honestly, we've crossed a couple of those boundaries not knowing, and hence right, why we went and educated ourselves around it. But what I think that when that act was written, it was come from the psychologists. They've said, righto, this is why we shouldn't do it. This is what the research tells us about people when we glamorise or we paint suicide in a different light. And my thinking is that that act was written some time ago and it had a lot of credibility, but let's be honest, things change and at a rapid pace. And I think that the media need to explore and have the conversation around, why don't we change that act? Because when we know for a fact that when we talk about there's a cancer and somebody dies of cancer and we mention that, people go and get tested. So things go up and they do. And I think when we talk about, and suicide is not taboo, and we can talk about the fact that people do struggle, and which is one of the causes for why people die by suicide, is because they are struggling. There's a range of things. But we shy away from that conversation. Yep. It's bloody awkward and it's uncomfortable and families are affected by it.
But and it's often left to the families of the ones, but like when you interview their family and friends, they're correct, always the ones that have to say, go and get help, go and talk to someone. But the media aren't the ones that...
No, the media almost get away without talking about it. And I'd love to hear from our listeners whether or not you think that it's time that the media did actually announce that this person took their own life or died by suicide, or, you know, it, as opposed to saying all the stuff that doesn't actually allude to it but still wink, wink, nudge, nudge, this is what happened. And, it's a bloody difficult situation. I've had people that I know that have died this way, and it is bloody difficult. But I go, you know what, I've also learnt from that as well. And I think that it's an awesome opportunity for us to have a think about whether or not we do think that we, as in the people, think that the media need to be a bit more fair dinkum and honest. I mean, they tend to have their own agenda and will drive it any way they want and create scaremongering. But this is the one area that is very consistent right across the board. And I question, why aren't we having the conversation around it?
Very good question asked, Donnie. We'll look forward to hearing from our listeners on what you think should happen, and do you want to be treated like adults and be dealt with all the information so you can make your own informed decisions, or do we need to keep getting, edited, censored views of what's actually happening in the news? Speaking of, onto our next topic, Don. Now, we don't want to spend a huge amount of time on COVID because, to be honest, we're all getting a bit sick of it. It's just the only thing that's in the news. But
we can't get away from it.
We can't. It's here and we have to deal with it. So, but again, we just want to pick out a couple of little bits to sort of help set the scene a little bit.
Well, look, let's get into it. Reluctantly, but importantly, I must comment on this further alarmism in relation to coronavirus. From 11:59 p.m. Wednesday, Victorians will have to wear a face mask. Like the lockdowns, no evidence, not a single slip of paper to justify this make-it-up-as-you-go approach. I mentioned last week that I have read medical material, which says two things. If you have the infection, the mask can help prevent the spread. But equally, quote, often people wear those masks incorrectly. They take them on and off, they touch them, they don't change them after a few hours, or when they get wet, and all of those things make them useless. Unquote. As the Vice President of the AMA said, I think there's a danger that they give a false sense of security, unquote.
And we could listen to Alan Jones talk about that for a fair while. You know, he's never shy in coming forward with opinions. Sir, is he?
Yeah. Interesting that he left, what was it, 2GB for health reasons and rocked up with a segment on Sky News. Did he jump? Was he pushed? Or there's something in that. But I tell you what also I think would help the mask situation, and that is if we stop bloody mask bashing. People wear things and they get it wrong and they're ridiculed. And look, you can't tell me that when someone takes the piss out of somebody wearing a mask incorrectly or it's fucking not got three layers or whatever, that other people aren't going, oh, shit, I don't want to have the same mistake. I'm not a mask expert, so maybe I'll just shy away from it. I just think, stop bloody mask shaming. If you got one, whack it on, do us all a favour and enjoy the ride. Like, let's be honest, I've seen some cracking masks and they look
some
good.
Funny ones out there.
No, they do. They look good.
Yes. So it'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow. I mentioned to you offline earlier tonight because I didn't know what day it was. But I was at Southland earlier today and walking around. And I reckon literally there's about 20% of people were wearing a mask today.
Right. Okay.
And it's interesting, isn't it, that it starts from 11:59 on Wednesday night, which is tonight when we're recording. So it's been well documented. But you sort of think, well, that's good that the coronavirus decided to have a break for a few days until we all decided to start wearing a mask. I mean, the reality is, why didn't Daniel Andrews just come out and say, you know what, it'd be bloody great if everyone started wearing a mask today, but we realise it's going to take people a few days to get supplies and get stock. But if you've got one, we'd love you to start wearing it. You know, where was that dialogue? It's just the leadership seems to be lacking a lot in Victoria at the moment. And I'm sure, you know, all the Labor people will just bash me now. But, you know, I call it as I see it. And I thought he was doing a good job up until not a while ago. Now it's all gone to shit.
Yeah, well, but you're right, JT. And I think when you look at it, we can say, righto, things are mandatory from this time. But if you can make it, you know, get the jump on it, why wouldn't you? And you're right. It's those little bits of information. I mean, he's got time to prepare his speeches before he comes out.
He's doing an hour presser every day.
So, you know, he's not doing that on his Pat Malone. He's got a bit of support with it. So,
Would have thought so. Last thing we want to mention.
Might be a job there for you, mate.
Thanks.
Speech writing for the Premier.
Last thing to mention on COVID is the unemployment rate. And it's something that does affect us all because if it's not you that's unemployed, I'm sure you know someone, whether it's friend or family, who's doing it pretty tough at the moment. So the rate's gone up to 7.4% in Australia. It's the highest it's ever been since 1998. So, you know, 22 years ago, and the prediction is that it's going to keep rising over the next couple of months. So unemployment is going to be a huge issue for us as a country going forward.
Yeah, and what that also does, JT, is it has a ripple effect or a massive impact on things like house prices, people without jobs, so there's less competition at auctions, there's, you know, and people are reluctant to spend because, you know, not knowing if you've got a job.
And that's going to hurt retail and the cafe owners and everything.
So it has a big impact. So when we hear about unemployment rates, I was told earlier in the year if unemployment hit 10%, then house prices would effectively lose 20% so of their value. So you think about something you've been sitting on, you think, right, I've got $1 million property now, and now overnight, because of unemployment, it's effectively worth what, $800,000. You know, that has an impact.
And I'm just impressed you worked that out in your head.
I've been working out all week. I haven't had social media to play with.
Now, of course, one of the things we touched on briefly was breast cancer last week, and I don't want to sort of revisit that because I know it's a bloody tough topic for a lot of people. But I think one of the things, the point we wanted to make last week, though, Don, was that just because Corona's around doesn't mean all the other news stops and things just don't go away.
Correct.
And I know you were out of it for most of the week.
It felt like all week everything gets stopped.
In terms of the news. So I just...
Tell us what else has been happening, mate. That's his segment.
Just wicked up a couple of things. Yesterday, 14 dead in a mass shooting in America.
There you go.
Now, normally that would be sort of leading news on pretty much every station that ran it. It was literally buried in, you know, page, you know, six of the news. So it shows you everyone's obviously so focused on COVID at the moment. But otherwise we'd be having another gun debate and, you know, another mass shooting in America and blah, blah, blah.
So are we desensitized to mass shootings that they can't even top you know, a list of a headline anymore?
Look, maybe, but I think, you know, we're a bit of self-interest. We're all interested in what the latest numbers are in Victoria. And,
are we?
Well, I think a lot of people are, and a lot of people are really nervous about whether we're going to go to stage four and you know, what that means for everything. So, yeah, I think, you know, I think it's all perspective, isn't it? At the moment, people are probably focused elsewhere.
It's front of mind.
There's obviously a lot happening with China and Hong Kong at the moment. That hasn't gone away, Donnie. So there
that ain't going away, mate. China ain't going to back down on that one.
No, it's getting messy. Yeah. And there's also a huge little hoo-ha brewing over one of the oceans over there, or one of the seas over there, around China claiming ownership over there. And again, I remember this dispute about 6 months ago. It was front page news and World War III is coming. And there's a lot of shit that's escalating very quickly over there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of all countries are over there practicing their little war games at the moment, and we know how they, you know, one false missile going somewhere and it's game on. So again, I think that, you know, watch that space if something's going to happen. Now, Don, for all our Bachelor fans out there, Bachelor in Paradise obviously going at the moment. I know you love it,
mate. Even with social media, that one's not going to get.
Don't pretend you don't love it.
It's not.
But the good news is, mate, the new season of The Bachelor
is another season.
It is only a few weeks away. Mate, it's a huge ratings winner, Donnie. And Lachie Gilbert from Survivor, one of the fan favourites from Survivor, is this year's Bachelor.
Didn't watch
good-looking rooster, Donnie.
Oh, he's a male model, one of your mob.
No, not one of my mob. He's actually a good-looking rooster. And so look out in a few weeks. I know you'll be tuning in, Don.
No, I won't.
Speaking of tuning in,
yep.
The Voice, we've made a few comments. The final.
Mate.
What do you think?
I didn't need social media to tell you.
Chris Sebastian.
Yep, hats
happy
off
with that?
Chris Sebastian, good on you, mate. You can sing. But you are not the Voice.
Wait.
No, it's his body. This is why I don't watch reality shows, JT. Bloody producers get their sticky little noses in shit.
Hang on. The people voted, Donnie.
Bullshit,
it was a public
vote. No, they did
not. You're saying it's rigged.
Yes, I am saying it's rigged. I'm saying that the public did not bloody vote for that because the public, unless they're all at the bloody next Paralympics, actually the deaf aren't there, but where I'm telling you, you had to be stone cold bloody deaf not to know that Johnny was the Voice, mate. That bloke can sing a roof off any church on the planet. And they just snubbed him. And I'll tell you what, I have a conspiracy. I have a theory around
here
this, JT.
All right, what's your theory?
Like your listening gear around this, kids. I reckon that Johnny, well, he's a Yank, right? I reckon he's come over from America. They've said, mate, you can go on this show. You're pretty bloody good. But you're not an Australian citizen, so you can't win it. But they didn't tell the punters that. They just brought him in because he's good and it's entertainment. But that's what I'm thinking. So, of course, I go down the line. Who's next? Well, Chrissy Boy's there. Guy's done his gig. Bloody bang. There's your Aussie winner. That's my theory.
That is one of the shittest theories. I mean, the people decided.
Kids, do not waste your 50 cents bloody voting because that shit, your vote doesn't count. They just rack up a bit of cash and then they stick it in the skyrockets. They pay the contestants a bit of cash. How do you reckon they get that $100,000 prize money, JT?
From the votes.
Not out of the bloody Red Cross.
From the votes.
Bullshit.
That's why people vote.
That's right. And they give it to whoever they want. They got it wrong. Disgusting.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, well, Delta, you'll be doing well, buddy. Get me to tune in next. I'm not happy, mate. I'm going to ring her up and just say she's...
Don't go there. It's not good. All right. Well, there you go, Don. So, look, plenty happening. We don't want to talk too much about some of the other stuff that was happening. We're going to skip over that because I can tell you're just
4 hours
in
moods
already.
Right, here we go. Right, let's go.
So we're into our next segment. Oh.
JT, you're adopted.
There we go. And time for our next segment again.
It's hard to get a real serious dive into your life when you're bloody playing baby hip-hop
songs. Doesn't need to be serious.
No one likes it.
It's a lighthearted chat.
You're adopted isn't, well, it's not the most lighthearted thing we've talked about on this show.
You know.
But let's recap. Right, for the punters that haven't tuned in to any other episode, this is where we're at. JT's adopted and we are... We've looked back, we've found out that he's always known he's adopted. He's had gone to an agency, they gave him an envelope. The envelope said, mate, here's the details for your parents. Go, good luck, here's how you write a letter. You went to your mum's, had lunch, caught up, asked a lot of questions. Your mum has unfortunately passed away. You met all your family at your grandma's funeral. That was the first time you all come together. You met your Uncle Ev and other people that are in your family. And you've told us a bit about your mum, who, not your biological mum, but your adopted mum, had been married. And then, of course, she had separated. So then you already had a dad and now you have another dad. That yep. you and you have a biological dad, so you've got three dads in the picture. You've got three dads in the picture, and you have obviously two mums in the picture. So, mate, you're going to pick it up there, and you're going to tell us about your, what happened after that.
All right. Well, geez, where do we start? Look, I think this episode, let's talk about my dad.
Right.
So, obviously,
which dad?
My natural
biological dad.
So when I met my mum, and her first words were, oh, my God, you look exactly like your father.
She said that.
Obviously very keen to meet my dad at some point. And Look, she didn't have a huge amount of details, and I think I touched on that earlier. It was a pretty traumatic time for her, and she was quite young at the time, and there was nothing on the birth certificate. So, look, she had a few details, one of which was that they met at the Preston Market, and she had a surname but not a full surname. It was only a part of the surname.
So, sorry, she wasn't still in contact with your
no,
dad?
No, no. So they had no further contact at all. And once, you know, once essentially that they'd found out that I was pregnant, that was pretty much see you later at that point. So
yeah,
they had
right.
absolutely nothing to do with it from that moment.
Okay.
Really. He was certainly very aware that she was pregnant and his family were aware, but they just wanted nothing to do with it.
And there was no details about him in your birth certificate envelope.
Correct.
It was only details about your mum.
Correct. Correct. So, you know, it's like, okay, well, I want to try and see if I can find my dad as well. I always set out to find, you know, my mother and my father, of course.
Is this needle in the haystack?
It was 100% needle in the haystack. So I literally had a first part of a surname. And I won't say it because I don't want to go too public on a few things, which will be easy to link up later on. But
okay.
But you know, it was a pretty common part of a first name, and,
right.
and that's all I had. And but I did know the bit about the Preston Market. So
okay.
So what I did, Don,
it, you didn't go to the market,
no
go shopping.
I didn't, but it took me literally about 2 years. It was back in the day where we had the white pages.
Wow.
And I looked up the white pages,
yeah.
and I rang every single phone number that had that part of it in the surname. And I'd said that I was doing some research on behalf of the Preston Market and I was doing a 25-year anniversary. Did you or your parents have a stall at the Preston Market?
Holy shit, look at you
so
go, buddy,
my little,
Inspector, buddy,
telemarketing campaign.
Wow.
It took me about 2 years to get through the list. And eventually I got to a number where someone said, yeah, no, my folks had a stall there, and I knew what type of stall. It was a clothing stall, and I thought, oh, here we go. This could be it.
Oh my God!
And so I said, oh, thanks very much. And then I followed the same process, send the letter, and so I wrote the same sort of letter that I'd sent to my mother.
Yeah.
And you know, remembering my mum rang me pretty much the next day that she got the letter.
Yeah.
So I sent the letter, and the phone didn't ring the next day.
Donuts.
Yeah, nothing. Didn't ring at all.
Oh,
for months.
Nothing.
So I thought, oh, this isn't good. And
so did you have the correct address? Did they give you the address?
You start wondering. I got it from the phone book. So, and, you know, you thought, oh, geez, maybe you bloody got it wrong. I did ring a lot of numbers and probably didn't have a Microsoft Excel back then. So, you know, there was paper and shit everywhere. So I could have stuffed it up. So I ended up writing another letter and I sent it registered post.
Right.
So at least someone had to sign for it that way. And I thought, well, at least I'll know that they'll get the letter.
Yep.
And still got donuts.
Right. Did they get the letter?
The letter was signed for.
Right.
And yeah, there was still no contact.
Righto. And so at this point, are you thinking that I'll go back to that phone number and ring him again and say, oh, you know, buddy, oi, we need you to come to the reunion or something?
Yeah. So I pretty much did ring back months later.
Right.
And pretty much got a no. That's no, I don't think that was actually right.
Do you know who you were speaking to?
Well, now I do.
Yeah, right.
But at the time, I thought, oh shit, maybe I did really stuff this up and get it wrong. And so I pretty much had to go and retrace my steps. As I said, this took place over years, right?
Yeah,
it wasn't
like
it was, you know, I did it all the time. But look, eventually, when I decided to call back again, probably a year later, whenever it was, I did actually end up speaking to my dad, and he actually owned up and said,
"Did he?
Yeah." So he actually said, "Look, at yes, that may have been me." And
did he say that? Like, did you let him know who you were? Did you say, "Listen, I am"?
Yeah. At that point, once I knew it was him that I was talking to, so he did finally acknowledge it, which was, look, you know, I guess some relief, validation, whatever you wanted to call it, that I go, actually, I found the prank, you know, sort of how I was thinking at the time.
And you've got to keep in mind too, like if he's on the phone and his wife says, oh, who's that on the phone, love? And he says, oh,
it's exactly right.
Yeah, like, you know, that's...
Yeah, 100%.
So did you, what happened? Did you say, can we meet for a coffee?
Yeah, look, of course I said, you know, they'd be really interested in meeting. And he pretty much shut it down straight away and said, absolutely zero interest in meeting you.
Wow.
And he didn't say, look, I just want nothing to do with you, full stop, don't ever call back again. He sort of, in a diplomatic way, just said, look, I'm not really interested in meeting you at this point in my life. But, you know, happy if you want to check back, you know, in the future kind of thing.
So, did he believe you?
Yeah, I don't think he didn't not believe me at okay. that point. And okay. And so that's kind of where it went. And so literally I rang probably, look, once a year, every 18 months or so, I put another phone call in.
So had it already? It had already taken you 2 years to get to this point?
This is literally over years. Yeah, yeah, correct. Wow. So and pretty much got the same answer every year, just saying, oh, yeah, great, you know, look, you know, there's a lot going on in my life, blah, blah, blah. Look, I'm not saying that I won't meet you one day, but it's just not the right time for me.
Right.
It's all about him.
And, yeah, yeah, of course, that was kind of him.
Yeah, yeah, it's right. And so that's kind of how it went on for years and years.
Tell your mum?
No. So obviously mum had passed away at one point.
Oh, okay. So
in that space.
So she didn't know this pursuit.
No, no, look, I didn't talk to her about it. I knew it was very upsetting for her.
Okay.
And you know, obviously things probably didn't end well and he wanted nothing to do with her and stuff. So I just didn't
drag that back up.
Correct. So, you know, out of respect for her, I didn't really keep her across that. But one of the things that really pissed me off was when she did pass away and I actually rang him and let him know.
Yeah.
And he just didn't come to the funeral. And I just thought, you know, what sort of a person are you? Yeah. That, you know, you're a large part of the reason why her life's as messed up as what it was.
Yeah,
and
right.
She went through so much trauma and you haven't even got the courtesy to go to a funeral. I thought it was pretty ordinary. Pretty ordinary act, to be honest. And so, look, that went on for a long time. And, well, I ended up turning 40.
Right.
And so this started when I was in my mid-20s.
Jeez.
And I had a 40th and I spoke to him and I said, you know what? mate, I'm 40. I've got two kids of my own. I'm not just some little teenage kid here. I said, this is bullshit. I said, we're going to meet. I'm sick of it.
I'm coming around.
Basically, I said, look, you got, you know, a couple of choices here, but I'd like to do it on, you know, in a nice way.
Yeah.
But look, you know, it's not like I don't know where you live. I could just rock up on your doorstep and could have for 15 years.
So and
I
made really, it very difficult and put him on the spot.
Correct. Yeah, so right. I thought I really was doing the right thing by him for a long period of time. And,
yeah.
But turning 40, you know, when you sort of, for those who have been there, it's a sort of a milestone. And yeah. You know, and
you see things differently at 40. You start to go, well, probably halfway through.
That's exactly right. And I thought, and at that point, Don, I honestly didn't know what nationality I was. And
right.
You know, I obviously don't look, you know, the complete Aussie. I've got a bit of whatever in me.
I'm full-blown Skip and I get mistaken, mate. I'm not even sure. We've known each other for a long time. And
that's exactly right. And with, when you have a couple of kids, of course, there's a whole bunch of genetic things you want to know, the things that I should be looking out for me, for my kids, you know, and then I'd love to be able to answer the question of what nationality you are. So, look, finally he agreed to meet me. So literally, you know, sometime around near my 40th, I met my dad at a cafe in Armidale.
Mate, we're going to leave it there, but I'll tell you what, I'm coming back next week. I am so back.
Excellent. That's the idea.
Oh, shit, that's good.
All right, so that's the end of my adoption story for this one. And now we're going to get into one of our favourite topics or our favourite segments, Donnie. Driving. This is when we get some classic media clips from around the world.
We search high and low for these, JT.
And what have we come up with this week, Don?
Mate, this is something that, it's an honest mistake. It's a lovely girl out for a run and she's about to be interviewed. And, well, so much so that people around the world have thought this is bloody hilarious. And so they've grabbed it and put it on their show and said, hey, check these bloopers out or things that have happened in the media. Yep. And this is what's happened.
Well, look, one of the things I want to add to that, Don, right. is that one of the things I love about our show is the fact that we record it live.
This is live.
So there's no room for margin of error.
Oh, have we stuck that wrong?
So if by chance I hadn't have loaded that media clip into this deck right now, Don, I probably wouldn't be able to play it.
Yeah, but
we would just have to. No.
Okay. Well, anyway, what's really good news is we've got that
next there week. For we've got next a week.
We'll have two clip. For you. Righto. So forget that media bloody watch bit.
It is a good one, though. I'm telling you. It is. You'll have to wait till next week. Yeah, sorry.
Righto. Bring it next week. What else we got?
Wait for it. Oh, love that cymbal at the end.
I was banned from singing. I want to belt that out because every Friday
it's a catchy tune, isn't it?
Public school, mate, we'd get up. It's had a revamp too. Do you believe that?
Bloody awesome. It goes for about 3 minutes. So I went out to try and get a stinger. Solid. I just couldn't find a little bit. You just got to play a little bit of it because it's such a cool tune.
Yep. And it tell you what, it takes me straight back. And that's why when you're going to have a segment called Don's Diary, you need to be able to get in the spirit of thing. And that, of course, that takes me back to my primary school days, ringing the old school bell. I was a bell monitor there for a while and it was bloody great. So I've gone to the diary, JT. I've ripped out page.
Love it.
The page, let me give it to you. Now, by the way, there was nobody biometrics back then. So no phone fingerprints and stuff like this. This is old school rip out page, not bloody automatic diaries and shit, right? This is it.
Love it.
Let me read it to you.
What have you got for us?
3rd of April, 1982. I live in Tokemoor and I'm 6 years old. Today, Mum reminded me about a talk yesterday. I also had a lot of people cross the road when they saw me, and I got a whack from Mum for being a little shit. Yesterday, Mum sat me down and said, "Now, Donnie, do you know where you were born?" I said, "No, Mum." She said, "You were born in a little Victorian town called Donald. Did you know you were named after your dad?" I said, "No, Mum." "Yes, you're named after your dad and your dad's named Donald." I said, "So, Mum, I was named after Dad. His name is Donald. My name is Donald. And I was born in Donald. Wow, that's a bit weird, Mum. And now I have a sister called Donna." Mum, she just looked at me and she said, "Yeah, you do." And she had a bit of a laugh. And I love it when Mum laughs. And I said, "Mum, I'm really glad I live in Tokemoor." And she said, "Why is that, Donnie?" And I said, "Because I don't have any siblings called Tokemoor." Yesterday, Mum also told me the story. She said, "Now, I want you to know you are just like the other kids." Mum and Dad always said, "I'm just like the other kids. I'm just like my brother Jason. I'm like my three sisters, Heather, Donna and Sandra. I'm no different. We're all the same. Yeah, yeah, I know. I'm just one of the kids." But yesterday, she said, "This week, I'm going to be a bit different. You're going to be in the paper, Donnie. You're going to help the Good Friday Appeal. Since you were 3 days old, you have been going to the children's hospital in and out, having lots of operations and getting new legs when you grow and when you wear them out. And you're going to be the face of the Good Friday Appeal." I said, "That's good, Mum. I like helping people." Mum said, "You know how you break your legs and we can replace them? Well, some kids aren't so lucky. So we're going to go and help the Royal Children's Health Hospital raise some money. People are going to look at you a bit different because you're going to be in the paper. But I don't want you to worry. I don't want you to get upset. When people stare at you, don't let it bother you, okay, when we go down the shops." I said, "Okay, Mum, I won't worry." So today, when we went to the shops and these two old ladies saw me and Mum coming up the street, and before they got to us, they crossed the road and they looked at us weird, and then Mum yelled at them, "What's wrong? Haven't you seen a boy with one leg before?" And Mum was really mad. And then she looked down at me and saw that I'd turned my foot around backwards on my wooden leg and I was putting on a real show like a crazy person. That's when she whacked me around the ears for being a little shit. JT, that was the 3rd of April, 1982.
Made a lot.
Donnie's Diary.
Love it, Donnie. I love that you share that, that you're happy to share some of those special moments as well from your childhood. I want to ask you, for someone who's obviously had one leg for your whole life.
I have.
And back then, yeah, people did look at you weird. Do you still find today when you got your shorts on or you're walking down a street, you still get the looks?
Oh, mate, people check me out. Don't you worry about that, JT. But they do.
Because you're a good-looking unit.
I tell you what, I'm trying to catch up with you. But the truth is, when I've walked down the street, I've been walking in a group of amputees, like as mates travelling the world playing sport, and I've had this lady, I remember seeing this lady just staring, and you know, like some people just are intrigued, and you always know when – as someone who's always been looked at all my life, I know when people are looking, you just feel it. Yep. And so I seen this lady staring at my leg and I thought, oh, she's gone. And I'll just turn around and see if she's still staring. And as I turn around, I seen her walk straight into a power pole because she was glued just staring at our leg. Sometimes it doesn't pay to their advantage to keep looking. But absolutely, mate, every day I get, I suppose, looked at and stared at, but as I said in previous episodes, mate, I'm pretty comfortable with it, and yeah. I try and help other people be comfortable with it. So that's the exact reason when I go to see Professor Legg and Sarah and the guys at the APC, why I get awesome designs and the Australia flag and stuff to really break that stigma to desensitize people to straight away look at it and go, that's an artificial leg, that's bloody cool.
And
give them the opportunity, enable them to have the conversation and be comfortable with it.
Yeah, it's staggering. Look, I obviously nothing compared to your scale, but I remember having a couple of sporting injuries, had a few of them a day, and I've been in a wheelchair a couple of times just for some short stints.
Right.
And it is staggering.
Yeah.
That people will not even make eye contact with you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like literally, they will do anything in the world to avoid even making contact with you. And I just find, I don't know, it just shits me.
Well, that's what I love about our show, JT, is we have a conversation because our thinking was around, let's give people permission to talk. It doesn't matter what the situation is. And I love it. And we'll talk a lot about my new job. And it's literally with every single day going and seeing people with a massive, massive range of disabilities. Mm. And I can assure you, those people aren't always in the fortuitous situation like me to be comfortable and have a chat about it. But that's they've all got a story.
Yeah,
you know what? And when we start hearing them, you'll be bloody blown away, mate.
Look forward to it. Awesome.
Dad joke of the week.
Oh, now, JT, this is what we come for, brother. What do you got for us? Donnie, this will be big. I know it.
This is going to be big. I thought, what did you think of last week's? Remember what last week's was?
I thought, no, I have not forgot. I had a chat with my mum about this, and she laughed, and I laughed, and me and mum laugh a lot, and she was laughing about your dad. She goes, I like that JT's dad joke. You had the buddy in the gorilla cage and the lion. I remember, mate. Right, that was good.
Well, I've got a couple of good ones for you.
Have you raised the bar?
It was a pretty low bar to start with, let's be honest.
Yeah, it's a true story.
Doesn't take a lot. But look, before I sort of get into that, I have been reading a book lately about anti-gravity.
Oh, yes.
Mate, it's impossible to put down.
I sort of sense where that was going.
It was not good, was it?
I've
got to get the short ones out early. You know,
that's hard early. How it
goes. Yep. All right. So we're getting into the serious one now. Now, I'm just going to work my way into this one, Donnie. This is it, right? So a father was passing by his son's bedroom and he was astonished to see the bed was nicely made and everything was picked up, the floor was clean, looking immaculate. And then he saw an envelope propped up prominently on the pillow and it was addressed, Dad.
Oh.
Yeah, with the worst premonition. You know, Dad's gone and opened the envelope. And as a dad, you'd be going, oh, Jesus Christ, what's this about? So he goes to get the letter and his hands are trembling. He gets the letter out. And the letter reads, Dear Dad, it's with great regret and sorrow that I'm writing to you. I've had to elope with my new girlfriend.
Oh.
Yeah. Because I wanted to avoid a scene with Mum and you.
Oh, yes.
I've been finding real passion with Stacey. She's so nice. But I knew you wouldn't approve of her because of all her piercings, her tattoos, her tight motorcycle clothes, and because she's much older than I am. But it's not only the passion, Dad. She's pregnant. But Stacey said that we're going to be very happy. She owns a trailer in the woods. She's got a stack of firewood for the whole winter.
Beautiful.
And we both share the dream of having more children. And Stacey's opened my eyes to the fact that marijuana doesn't really hurt anyone. We'll be growing it ourselves and trading it with the other people in the community all the cocaine and ecstasy we want. And in the meantime, we're going to pray that science will find a cure for AIDS so that Stacey can get better.
Oh,
she sure deserves it. But don't worry, Dad. I'm 15 and I know how to take care of myself. And someday I'm sure we'll be back to visit you so you can get to know your many grandchildren. Love your son, Joshua.
That turned out all right.
It was going a wrong, different way earlier, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was worried. Yep.
P.S. Dad, none of the above is true.
Oh.
I'm over at Jason's house. I just wanted to remind you that there's worse things in life than in the school report that's on the kitchen table. Call me when it's safe to come home. Clever.
Yeah, smart little clever. Shit. That's right.
Yeah. Good or...
Well, if he had to put that effort into his schoolwork, he wouldn't be shitting himself.
Joshua's a very creative young lad.
Yep.
Now, the next joke, Donnie, I have to preface this by saying
you're going there.
If children are listening to this podcast, it now is a good time just to go and grab yourself a glass of milk and abscond. Come back in about a minute or so.
Yeah.
Oh, God, here goes my good boy character.
You'd said to me that you were going to push the boundary, so I'm keen to see where you go, I think.
I hope it's worth it. All right. Okay. So a priest hooks a huge fish. And helping him reel it in, a sailor says, "Whoa, look at the size of that fucker." And I go, "Hey, mind your language," says the priest.
Jeez.
Embarrassed, the sailor thinks quickly and blurts out, oh, sorry, father, but that's what this fish is called. It's a fucker fish.
Oh.
So accepting the explanation, the priest forgives the sailor and takes the fish back to the church. So he gets back to the church and says, "Look at this huge fucker." Spotting the bishop as he was walking past. The bishop goes, "Hey, language, please. This is God's house." He goes, no, that's what the fish is called. "Oh," says the bishop, scratching his chin, "well, I could clean that fucker and we could have it for dinner." You can see where this is going, can't you, Donnie? It's not going to end well. So the bishop takes the fish, he cleans it, and he brings it to Mother Superior. He says, "Could you cook this fucker for dinner tonight?" And she says, "Oh my, what language?" she exclaims, very shocked.
Yeah,
she would. And he says, No, sister, that's what the fish is called. It's a fucker. So satisfied with the explanation, Mother Superior says, "Oh, wonderful, I'll cook that fucker tonight. The Pope's coming over for dinner."
Of course he is.
That's right. So the fish tastes just great, and the Pope asks where they got it. "Well, I caught the fucker," says the priest. "And I cleaned the fucker," says the bishop. "And I cooked the fucker," said Mother Superior. And the Pope just stares at them for a minute with a steely glaze, leans back on his chair, takes off his cap, puts his feet up on the table, pours himself a whiskey and says, "You know what?" Can't even get it out. He goes, "You know what? You cunts are all right."
Now that could have ended before the Pope spoke, and it still would have been funny. Like that's so there you go. That's why we need the people to help us.
Jesus, help us. Send me some good jokes.
I know our good friend Clinton sent some in, and he deserves to be loved for that. So well played. Well read, JT. We love your jokes. The dad jokes are seriously the highlight of the show. What's next?
The segment where we give you some life hacks, Donny.
Oh, and they're always good. Speaking
they
of
are
good,
always good.
Mate, you gave us one last week and it was, I tried to give you some advice on it and yours was the toothpaste, on clean the, up on the foggy shit on the headlight. Yeah, I said, don't do it on yours, case it doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah. I ignored your advice completely and tried it.
You did it on yours.
Yeah, I did. I tried it straight on my car.
And?
Well, I got to be honest, Don.
Yes?
It did nothing.
Told you should have tried it on the neighbours.
Well, actually, that's untrue. It actually smelled all right because it had a minty toothpaste. Oh, so it actually so smelled
the
right.
Cops pull you over for, loitering or being somewhere you shouldn't.
At least it smells good.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. But it actually did absolutely freaking nothing for the fogginess on my headlight. So shit tip, basically.
Okay.
Have you got some good ones for us, Don, that actually work?
I don't know if they work, but I tell you what, I loan a lot of shit out. So I'm from the bush. I grew up with a whole lot of tools and I loan shit out.
Speaking of which, I've got your grinder still.
Bingo. And you know how I know you have my grinder? Is because when I loan shit out, I get people, I give it to them, I get my phone, I take a photo with them holding my tools. And smart. That way I never forget who's got what. And DVDs and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, books, DVDs.
Books, buddy. Yep. There's some good books out there. And if you got mine, it's because you bought it. And thanks for all the people that buy my book. I love your work. So take a photo with your stuff that you loan out, even if it's money. Get them to hold up the money. And I tell you what, they'll be posing with it and you'll know how much they owe you.
Good tip. Like it.
Yep. Because sometimes shit takes a lot longer to get back than you think it does. Okay. Another tip for you, JT, is... Oh, no, you are a chocolate fan.
And I love chocolate.
I bought some chocolate over. Midgie made this beautiful chocolate bloody thing and it was massive and bought it over and we polished it off, right?
Yum.
But you know when you get to the end of like the Nutella jar?
No.
You've never got to the end. But when you get near the end of Nutella, just grab a scoop of ice cream, bang it in the jar because you can never get – there's always a streak and a bits and there's enough Nutella in there, whack a scoop of ice cream in it and eat your ice cream out of the jar and bang, you've got yourself some nice Nutella-flavoured ice cream and you empty the jar out. bloody great little tip. And
calorie free, or
oh yeah, Nutella's good for your health.
It's,
oh, eat up. It's got nuts in it, and nuts are good.
Love it, love it.
My advice this week for what book should you read, JT?
What book should you read, Don?
Well, I tell you what. In this, we talked about unemployment rate being bloody heading up to 10% or in that range,
heading that way,
right? And so it means there's going to be a lot of people that are looking for jobs. Don't think that just because you've done stuff that you can't change what you're doing, reset, re-go, relearn.
Retool, yeah.
And one of the things that I absolutely loved and I rated this book, I thought, oh, I'm not really into self-help shit because it's not my cup of tea. But I read The Naked CEO, and I probably picked it up because I thought,
been disappointed.
Yes, yeah, I was very disappointed initially. It wasn't quite where it should have been in the library. But anyway, that book is a dead set ripper. And why I love it is because some of it is just practical tips about what questions to ask when you go for an interview. You know, that sort of real life shit that helps you. Someone who's been there, done that, and provided to stop and help other people on the way up. And I bloody loved it. So Naked CEO is my book tip for this week.
Love it. Good tip. Oh, it's time for our Heroes and Zeros segment, Donny. Now, this week we've got a pretty amazing story. And Don, I've scoured the internet as I have, and I've managed to grab a clip, Don. So I'm just going to play a little bit of the clip.
What do you got?
Clip now for us.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim aur assalamu alaikum. Dosto, aapne himmat ke karname to bahut sune honge, lekin kuch din pehle Afghanistan mein ek aisa waqia pesh aaya jisne sabko hairan karke rakh diya.
There we go, Donny. So
and bloody good on her. I think that's awesome, and it should happen more.
So can you, for our listeners that don't speak
Arabic, well, you don't speak Arabic, but I'll fill you in, JT.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
Actually, I did think you spoke it. You're a male model, you do a lot of things. It surprised me you don't speak Arabic. Anyway, I was very impressed. And this one pushes the boundary of heroes, but you know what? The world has been suppressed, and lots of people in different parts of the world are even more suppressed. This young girl who had the Afghani Taliban kick down the door and shoot her parents. Both parents. She took care of that. And she said, nah, you can get stuffed. Got an AK-47, whack, 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 and took care of the Taliban. Took them out.
Hang on. So the Taliban have come to her house, smashed the door down, killed her parents. She's obviously seen this and grabbed the gun or something nearby and killed the people that killed her parents.
Correct. And I'll tell you what, if you think about why we're holding that up as our hero this week, it's because, yes, I know the tradies are awesome, but I haven't seen any tradies save life or do anything this week. And I haven't been on social media, so I left this up to you to get this for me, JT. Oh, but the truth is, honestly, the Taliban are a bunch of pricks. They bloody don't educate their women. They don't allow their women outside. They cover them up. And, yes, there's some reasons around the coverings, and some of it is choice. But the truth is, Taliban haven't got a good rep. And if you kick the door down and shoot someone's parents, suffering your jocks, mate. Bang, bang. Two dead.
Eye for an eye.
Well, over there, anything goes, and I reckon good on her.
Tell you what, though. I mean, look, it's a bit of tongue-in-cheek, obviously. A hero in terms of doing what she had to do. But can you imagine the world that these people are living in when you're in a household where you're probably innocently watching TV or something, people kick down your door, shoot you for no apparent reason.
Yep.
And this is a kid, don't forget, a girl who then has to go and kill two other people, and we're worried about,
wearing masks.
Trivial bloody shit that's going on here. That's some serious shit.
Mate, but let's be honest, there wouldn't be a person who loves their family that is not mentioned at some point, or if anyone does anything to my family, exactly, I'd kill them. Right. Bloody hats off, legend. Good honour.
There you go, hero. All right, well done. Well deserved, I guess. Now, what about the zeros, Donny?
Oh, zeros. Well, let's just take a wide, but this is what happens when you keep me off social media, mate. Oh, I've got donuts, but what I can do off the top of my head is I can say that a lot of people that fall into the zero category fit this mold. They go off to get their COVID testing and then they go shopping, JT. They haven't thought, I'm getting tested because I'm actually concerned that I might have COVID. So I'll just go shopping. And old Premier Dan, he came out and gave those people a fair whack and said, pull your heads in, dickheads. If you're going to get tested, do the next step of testing and self-isolate for a couple of days until you get your test back. So not that bloody hard. So our zeros this week, I think, should, rightly so, go to the people that are doing the wrong thing, JT.
The numbers are pretty staggering. 90% of people failed to isolate immediately after feeling unwell before they were tested. And 50% of people did not self-isolate for the few days it takes to get your test back. So they've had some symptoms. They're going, shit, I better go and get myself tested. Good on you for going and getting tested.
Yep.
They've had the test. It takes a few days to get the results back. You could be positive, could be negative. And 50% of them just didn't bother to self-isolate during that period and still kept going out amongst the community.
What do you reckon it is? Do you reckon they've just thought, oh, she'll be right? Like, we'll get the test and we'll get the results. Oh,
complete dickheads. I honestly don't know what.
They haven't
what
thought can, it through.
Yeah, yeah. Absolute zeros for the week, you lot.
Righto.
Pull your head in. All right, now each week, Donnie, I leave it up to you because I have no network whatsoever. I leave it up to you to go and get some celebrities, Donnie. And, well, what have you got for us this week?
Bloody cost me last week. That's what I did. I got stupid prick of a mate of mine, Scotty Cummings, and he asked the question, are we better off without bloody social media? And you said I sat on the fence and then I copped myself a week. Mm-hmm. So I'm very careful about our celebrities from now on. But I did also, I told you I met Scotty when I was doing some stuff and I met Dane Swan and I got to go on the Swanee and Friends and Scotty's buddy podcast. And Scotty made mention of if he had his time again, he'd probably consider not doing a podcast with one said Dane Swan. So of course our buddy legend this week, it's Dane Swan.
Dane Swan.
Yes.
Good get. So for those of you who don't know Swanee, obviously played a fair amount of AFL football.
Good play.
He was actually drafted pick 58, went pretty low.
Pretty low.
But given he went on to be one of the best midfielders in history. But
snagged
just
the Brownlow.
Won't read out too much, but look, premiership player, Brownlow medalist, three-time Copeland Trophy recipient, five-time All-Australian. In 2010, won the Lee Matthews Trophy as the league's most valuable player. Averaged 27 disposals, and most importantly, he was the runner-up in the 2017 I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Oh, that's the most – that's why we got him.
That is clearly the best bit. All right, let's have a listen to what Mr. Swan had to say.
What did he say?
What do you want to say?
Yes, Donnie, I've managed to get the great man Dane Swan here, and Dane, the question from Donnie is, what would you do differently in your life if you were able to do it a second time around?
Hey, Donnie, listen – not a hell of a lot. So I think most of the stuff that I've done has brought me to the person I am today, and I sit pretty comfortably with who I am. But probably the one thing that I would do differently would not get involved with Ralph doing a podcast because it ruined one of my good mates' lives. So I'd probably avoid Ralphie in the podcast game. But my question about you, which is a brain buster, is why do socks have R and L on their socks? Presumably it stands for right and left, but the question is, are there different patterns for different socks? Because when I put my left on my right, it feels exactly the same and I have no problems walking. So if you could get down to the bottom of why they have R and L on different socks and if socks are made differently. Thanks, mate.
I'll tell you what,
Don.
Swanee's a brick, mate. Fair dinkum. He's known for not pulling any punches. He calls it the way he sees. He did a lot through COVID to help people in Chapel Street in his local area, which is bloody fantastic. And he raised a good point about not getting involved with Ralphie Horowitz. Thanks, Ralphie.
Can we dig into that? Because they've all actually mentioned, and I actually don't know what happened, but clearly something pretty big went down. So can we cover that in another episode?
We will. We'll touch it. So on a couple of things, let's first of all go with Swanee's advice, which was, and for his podcast, I know you've listened to this one and you're listening to it now, so thank you. If you're scratching around, because we're only up to episode 7 and you're thinking, what's another good podcast? Swanee and Friends, get on it.
Get on.
And E, little E on there as well for when you listen to that one.
Yep.
They're bloody good, Ralph, you know. So his advice was, I wouldn't do much different.
Mm.
I bloody love that. Because what that says is, stuff it, mate, I'm owning it. And when anyone owns their shit, I rate that. I don't necessarily always agree with how people roll through life, but I love when they own it. So for me, that's awesome advice.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at Swanee, mate, he's covered from top to toe in tats and, you know, he owns a tattoo shop and a pub and that sort of stuff, played an amazing amount of footy for Collingwood. So that was awesome. And his big question that he left with
hard-hitting question, Don.
The big hard-hitting question is, why do socks have L's and R's on them? Is it for left and right? And do they have a different pattern? Well, I'm going to give you a little secret, JT. I am the worst fucking person to ask a question like that about socks, mate. I leave my left sock on the artificial leg for bloody weeks sometimes, so I don't give a shit. Seriously, I wear odd socks every day and I tell everyone, yeah, I've got a pair just like it at home. So, like, Swanee, you're on your own. You're on your absolute Pat Malone, brother. I cannot help you with – JT, do you know? I mean, out of the two of us, you're the one with the most amount of feet.
Can answer this.
Righto. Give it to us.
is for right, L is for left. confirm.
Yes, what you mentioned.
But no, in my experience, I think on a lot of dress socks, like your fashionable socks, I think they are literally cut the same. It wouldn't matter if you got them right, you know, on the wrong foot, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But with the athletic socks, so if you go and buy yourself some really good socks that, you know, might cost you $20-$30 for a pair.
Holy shit.
100% they are cut differently.
Really?
And it just feels wrong as soon as you put it on.
Well, you've got the modest touch, mate. You're a male model. You have the sensitive new age guy stuff. Your feet have feelings. My foot, I don't even have bloody toes on it, mate. Why am I going to give a shit? There you go, $30 for a pair of socks, mate. I used to buy a pair of shoes and chop one up. So I seriously, JT, I am so glad we got you here to answer this.
Mate, there we go. Covered. We'll send it
to Swanny. Thanks, mate.
Love it. All right, we're getting into the home straight. We've only got a couple of segments to go, and it brings us straight to one of our favourite ones, I think, Don. Audience Q&A.
Oh, the audience
Q&A. Donnie's looking at me going, thinking, what the hell is
this
segment?
Which one is now our favourite? I thought the dad jokes were our favourites. Oh. Righto, yes, the audience Q&A. I had a couple of people write into me, JT, and... Oh, I've just gone. That's the bit I was waiting for. I've just gone out to the mailbag and I've got the giddy up mailbag. We've got our own PO box, whatty thing. I would give it out, but it's COVID, so I can't give that out. So just write to us on emails and shit. Like these people have done, they've asked us a couple of questions, JT.
Right.
One of the questions that I had sent in was, is JT single? That was a question that I had, and I wrote back to the bloke and I said, listen, mate.
That's good.
Did
we get any real questions from anyone?
We got nothing this week. No, I did have one. It was one of those ones, would you rather? So this is the only question I had come through to us in the mailbag.
Yeah.
Right? And it was, would you rather swim all day or lie dead still, can't move? You got one day. Swim all day or lie still?
I would pick lie still because I physically wouldn't be able to swim all day.
Right. Oh.
That's the only reason.
There's your answer, kids. Thanks for sending that in. And for anyone else who wants to send in the big question, like seriously.
Was that it?
I don't want to say it was a shit question, but that's because no question is a shit question from our listeners.
Ah, love it.
So thanks to. Yep.
Yeah! Great question.
Thank you for that. But do you see how this works? So what this is about saying, people, you walking with your cat or your dog,
please
or
send us
child,
some better questions, yes, please.
Send in something, we'll answer it. We have absolutely no dramas with answering shit.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Now, Donnie, I want to give people a bit of a tip because I actually haven't been that angry this week. Nothing's really pissed me off too much.
You've been off social media too.
Well, it's had a quiet week. Been occupied doing some other stuff, so it's been quiet. But one of the things I want to do, I just want to try and educate our listeners a little bit as they're going through their day-to-day life. And there is a lot of reason now that people are ringing call centres. You know, just about all businesses have a call centre.
Yes.
You know, when you ring a number and someone answers it. And we've all run into the press one for this, press two for that. Press three for that.
What are they?
IVRs. Don. So we IVRs. Call them IVRs, Integrated Voice Response is what it stands for.
Okay.
And I just want to educate people because I know a lot of people, yourself included, Dom, will typically just try and hit one or zero or hit anybody's
shortcut
number
it.
Just to try and shortcut, bypass the system, etc.
Well, you tell me that don't work.
Well, you know, it might get you through to an agent.
Right.
It might have that effect.
But like there is a
reason why call centers do that. And without getting too technical, but it is what we call skill-based routing. And the whole idea of that is, depending on the button that you push, gets you through to a different skilled type of operator. So in a 000 example, if you ring 000, what it would say is, say, press 1 for police, press 2 for ambulance, and press 3 for fire.
Right.
When the person answers the phone, they've got people that are only trained on police calls.
Right.
And that might be like hostage situations or you know, what to do with a crime scene, et cetera.
Cat stuck.
Obviously, your Rambo people, you know, the medical stuff. If someone's having a heart attack, you know, lie them down, roll them on their side, all that sort of stuff. So completely different skills.
Yep.
Now, in a call center, that's pretty much the premise of skill-based routing. And while it may not be, you know, that example, it could be sales or service.
But one to pay your bill or two to get a new contract.
Exactly right.
Or
it might be car insurance versus house insurance because they're just completely different skill sets.
Right.
So what call centers genuinely try to do is get people to the right skilled agent as quickly as possible, because it's going to be better experience for the customer.
Yep.
And it's going to be a lot quicker for the call center, because otherwise it's just going to have to be transferred around and you know, it's just a worse experience for everyone.
Yes.
So there is a reason why we actually do put them in, and as much as it's annoying listening to the options sometimes, and maybe, you know, there are some bad designs out there. They may not have all the options as to why you're ringing. But most of the time, there is a lot of time and energy spent from businesses actually designing those IVR. So my advice to you guys is, if you do ring a call center, just spend that extra 10, 20 seconds listening to the options, because it's actually going to make it better for you.
Right. Great bloody advice, JT. And you know how you know that? Because you are one of the top 25 most influential.
No, JT.
If anyone, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, most of us know JT is the male model from the John podcast.
No one actually knows this.
No, but that's what you know as when you walk down the street and stuff. Right, but the world that you have away from this podcast is very, very professional, very corporate. And really, you've run call centers at the highest level. You've had your own fair whack of hiccups, and it's fair to say you've seen it all. You also advise call centers and big operations. And when the media want a comment around another call center being offshored and all that sort of stuff, they come to you. So you genuinely have, and it's not all beer and Skittles at the top end. I mean, you got your critics. No,
it's exactly right. It's tough at the top, as they say. But I remember last year, I was on a Current Affair,
right?
And when the producer rings you and they say, "Oh, it's, you know, blah 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 from Current Affair, we'd like to interview," and you're sort of thinking, "Okay,
I'm about to be door-stopped."
What have I done? So even when we actually did the interview, I think it was on, you know, the use of offshore call centers or something like that, and you know, I'm the go-to person sometimes for that sort of comment, but I was just waiting at some point in the middle of the interview, they just kind of suddenly pivot and go, "Actually, Mr. Tippett, where were you on the night?" And I was like, "What?"
That's my sort of interview.
I was on guard the whole time. Thankfully, they didn't do that, and it was generally about call center stuff, which was good. So,
very good, JT. Go. Well, thank you for your blowtorch. It's lovely to have you in a real smelling the roses type mood, and not shit canning someone who can't do their job right. So we bloody love it. The people have loved. They've been intrigued about your blinds and your light leakage. So glad that's all resolved. Is it all resolved, by the way?
All resolved, mate. Sleeping like a baby. Never felt better, mate. So thank you, everyone, for listening into another wonderful episode on Giddy Up.
Don't wrap this up yet, JT. I want to remind people the reason we haven't got a shitload of questions is because we've got a new thing.
We have.
This is how you're going to be able to send them in.
Mate, this is a very, very exciting moment. We do actually finally have a Facebook page.
Boom.
So we're going to post some content on the page, and you can share the page and tell everyone and blah, 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 blah. Now, the big difference for everyone to understand, on a page, if you actually comment on anything on the page, everyone will see that. So all your friends and family potentially would see what your comments are, because it's public.
Yes.
If you make a comment in our group, which is the first thing that we set up, then it's private. Those comments stay within the group. So that's the big difference. So we've set up a page as well. So
and people can share the page.
Absolutely. Share it away and get encourage involved. People to you know, obviously to tune in, listen, follow,
and we'll
follow
put
the
some,
page, all that
some
sort of
jokes
stuff.
And funnings up there and
yeah,
a bit of
exactly.
Current
There'll
affair
be a lot more
stuff.
Comment.
Right
up. All that sort
bloody
of
love
stuff,
it. Well played.
We good with that, Donnie?
We're good.
All right. So this is our moment where we get to wrap up the show. And I know you love this tune, and I know you love trying to get the timing just right, because this is the highlight for a lot of people.
I just need you to tell me when.
It's soon.
Giddy up! I fucked it.
Yeah.